You are listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, a weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients while having a great work-life balance. And this is another episode with Benjamin, where we talk about challenges in outsourcing. And well, that is something that you can see from both sides, the pharma side or the sponsor side, and from the CRO side. And well, I have worked for many years on the pharma side and also some experience on the CRO side, and Benjamin has lots of experience from the CRO side. So stay tuned for a very good discussion about this topic. Whenever it's about outsourcing, it is not just about processes and documentation and all these kind of different things. It is also a lot about people working effectively with people. And I've seen this again and again. Lots of the challenges come from not communicating well with each other, having bad negotiation practices, not being able to master conflict well. And it's not about avoiding conflict, it's about mastering conflict, because there will always be conflict in terms of timelines, money, quality, whatsoever. Whether you will be successful depends a lot on your leadership skills here. And here, what I'm talking about are not leadership skills in terms of having direct reports. It's about how you work effectively with other people, whether it's on the CRO side or on the sponsor side. Problems are very often associated with lack of these skills. Now, Gary and I run the Effective Statistician Leadership Program for years, and we have trained hundreds of people. We are getting close to 500 people that we have trained through this program, and we get really great feedback about it. Currently, there is another opportunity for you to register as an individual into this program, and we have a waiting list, and once we have enough people on this waiting list, we will start with the program. So head over to theeffectivestatistician.com, look for the academy for the courses, and there you will find the Effective Statistician Leadership Program with Masterminds. Sign up for that one, and it will be great to talk to you directly. I'm producing this podcast in association with PSI, a community dedicated to leading and promoting the use of statistics within the healthcare industry for the benefit of patients. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the ever-growing video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much more. By the way, the PSI conference in June in Amsterdam is just around the corner, and I'll be there as well. If you want to learn more about this and all the other things, just head over to psiweb.org to learn more about it and become a PSI member today. Welcome to another episode of The Effective Statistician, and today it's again with Benjamin and myself. Hi, how are you doing?
Good, very well. How are you?
Very good. It's Monday morning and I'm pretty excited as we are recording this.
Yeah, it is a nice topic. So some experience we can share.
Yeah. Outsourcing. Well, I guess there's hardly any sponsors that works without outsourcing. Yeah, everybody works with vendors all the time. And there are, of course, several ways you can outsource stuff. One is what I would call actually more kind of insourcing. If you basically hire people from another company to work within your systems according to your SOPs, and basically something like augmented teams. Yeah.
A kind of FSP, or what we call
Yeah.
FSP.
Functional service providers, very, very often the word for this. And then you need to have the right people in the right jobs. That's something we don't want to cover today. What we want to cover today is what I would say is project-based outsourcing. So is that the right term?
Right. Project-based, I mean, that is kind of the department that we call ourselves, but it is based on unit-based outsourcing. So
Unit-based
that you
outsourcing.
kind of, work on a, have a list of items that need to be covered in a way, like an SAP writing or delivery of outputs. And you kind of think about the whole outsourcing in types of units. Sometimes it is combined with time and material, what we call time and material. So additional items to be covered based on an hour, on a time that you need for it. But that is something, what is usually also covered from kind of consulting type of roles, where you have a dedicated people that support upon requests, like on a time and material basis, so on a way. Being charged not based on a unit, but being charged on an hour.
So this I guess there's lots of different variations for it. And today we want to talk about the different challenges within that. And well, Benjamin has decades of experience working on the CRO side. I have worked a lot on the sponsor side and also a little bit on the CRO side. And so I'm pretty sure this will be an interesting and insightful discussion. So when we, dipped into this conversation a little bit earlier before we hit record, it was pretty clear that one of the biggest, or the biggest challenge very often lies just within communication. And well, communication is, of course, a very, very broad topic, and there's lots of things where communication can go south. So, what is the first thing that comes to mind when you think about challenges within communications?
Many things. No, there's. I mean, communication is wide, as I said. It's an extremely wide field. So it's not. There are different types of communication, and one thing that is usually coming up quite quickly is that there's often a misunderstanding of, even though we are talking about the same thing, it's a misunderstanding of how to interpret it or how to read this, how to work with it. And my classical example is, for example, like when we talk about timelines or database lock for database lock. And for some people, so if you talk to clinical people, database lock means actually it's the last day or the last time point when you can actually enter or change data. So while when you talk to a statistician, database lock and timelines for a statistician, database lock is usually, the clock starts counting when actually you receive the data. So it's actually at the other end of the database lock. But when you talk about, oh, we have, we talk about timelines, and you say it's 2 weeks after database lock. For the one, it's actually 2 weeks after, the last data has been entered or changed, or like the query's been answered. And for the others, 2 weeks, after you receive the data. And there could be like a gap of actually 2 weeks between one or the other. So that is something where I, what is one of my most, the experience I have seen quite often is that we are talking about the same thing, but actually it's a different perception of what it means. So there
Yeah,
needs
I've seen
to be.
that as well. Even when it comes to timelines and milestones is one thing. The other thing is also these different units. Yeah. So what is a unique table? What is a repeat table? Even what is a listing? Yeah. These things can vary quite a lot from organization to organization. And just because you have an understanding of something that is not necessarily the same like the business partner you're working with.
No, that is exactly. So that is one of the, that's coming first in my mind. But actually, it starts, to my understanding, it starts a little bit earlier. So, and it's kind of, it's kind of communication sometimes. It's kind of some political way as well, is that you are not, when you outsource. So I would expect like full transparency. So I would expect that this is, outsourcing is not, oh, he take it and just do it and then leave me alone and give it back when you're done. But outsourcing usually like should be kind of, like a prolonged of interaction, like to the company that you're supporting. So that means that if you really want to fulfill the role of, like a complete outsource, like a partially outsourcing, but really do this, within the expectation of, of the person of the company that is out actually outsourcing, you need transparency. You need to have an understanding of what actually is the goal of this piece of like a project that you're doing. On the one side, also you have to have transparency about expected timelines and kind of like an interaction. Also, what is the planning beyond that in terms of timelines, so that you kind of have the opportunity to give your expertise to the, to the best solution.
I love the idea that you first start with what's the goal? So why actually are we doing this study? Why do we need these analysis? What is the purpose of this table? If you don't provide that as a sponsor, it will be very, very difficult to come up with a great product. If you don't understand the backgrounds, you will not be able to understand what is maybe wrong in the data. With specifications, you can be always, a lot of detail. Still, there will be always uncertainties. And if you don't provide background, people will not understand it. So, as an example, I was
Yes.
once working on ADHD. Very simple. In most ADHD studies, there are far more boys than girls. And there was a coding issue in the database. And then when we got the tables back, there were far more girls than boys, which was kind of unexpected. As a sponsor, I should have better trained the people in terms of what is the disease area, what are the scales, which scales do we expect to go up, which scales do we expect to go down, what are all the kind of typical things. That would have prevented the programmers from delivering such a table, with there's obviously something wrong in it. But of course, you need to have some insights into that.
Yeah, and also, I mean, the one of the purpose for outsourcing, I mean, obviously, is the overall goal is usually that it's cheaper, so it's kind of a money saving exercise, but also, it should save time for yourself, for the sponsor. So it's actually a time, it frees you up to do other things. But how do you do this efficiently? I mean, this is not, if you don't, if you're not open with the communication, with the plan, with the timelines, and interactive and helping everyone to understand and be part of the whole team, this is all left to you, right? So it is your time that you will be actually doing redoing the work and rechecking and re whatever, right? So it is not a help, and it's not satisfying for either side actually, if you end up, being unsatisfied because the quality isn't good. But actually, I mean, okay, so if the quality, if there are errors, okay, that's one thing. But actually, if the purpose is not met, Right. So if you receive it and you give it to your medical writer to finish, and they say, but that is not what we need. We need this to have the table the other way around or whatever. So the whole communication could have been done like at the very beginning. And it would, it would save time and gray hair.
It has a lot to do also with delegation. In a sense, you're delegating tasks. You're delegating projects and all of these kind of things. And it's similar as if you're delegating it within your own team. You need to make sure that the people you delegated to have all the resources and knowledge and so on, so that they can actually succeed. You need to make sure that you set them up for success. Timelines is always a great topic, because timelines are, of course, moving targets. So don't wait until the last minute to tell, oh, by the way, the database lock has moved in by 2 months, and actually we now have database lock in 3 weeks instead of in 3 months. So probably a bad idea if you want to get your table 3 days after database lock.
That's kind of the transparency in a way, right? So that you kind of get the team updated and involved in the, I mean, there usually there's no hesitance to for this for the for, let's say the outsourcing, the statistician and the CRO to attend team meetings. I mean, maybe a cost factor, obviously. I mean, just a cost of the time and then the units for this. But in general, that would be so helpful for the statistician to plan within the CRO all the timelines, the changes, the adaptations, and everything. So that is usually something that I recommend, is to not only pass on information but involve the team to share within the team to discuss possibilities. It's also quicker, right? So if there are simple answers, yes or no, possible, feasible, not possible, not feasible, in a way within a team meeting, it's easier to just make the decisions, the right decisions at the right time or quicker than going back to the statistician, to the CRO, to the outsourcing group to actually implement the changes and then realize, oh, it's not possible. We have to go back. So there's a lot of efficiencies you could gain if you're transparent with all the information. I know it's not always possible with all information, that's understood. It's really, but there's a lot of things that are being held back and or found out sometimes by chance. And that is surprises that you would like to avoid.
You definitely need to make sure that you don't have surprises. That's always a bad thing. Of course, there's sometimes the statistics organizations within the pharma companies get also surprised by changes. But that's a whole other topic. Let's speak a little bit about money and budget. What are kind of typical challenges you see around budgeting and these kind of things?
I mean, usually, it's always too much money, right?
That's what the
So
company is asking for the answers.
that is kind of the overarching, no, but that's not true. I mean, usually there, well, my experience is that there's usually quite a good understanding of what the pricing is about. Right. So it's so that they're, how the structure is. So most of the clients that I work with have had similar experience or similar outsourcing type of way before. So, I mean, still CROs work differently. So you have to be, what I sometimes experience is that the own need for understanding how the processes work in a CRO is not necessarily available. So that means if you do like a pricing, like you provide a price or you have an idea of how it works with, the different types of programming, the QC, the within the timelines, the time or the project management time that you need as a company, and so on and so on. So all the details, there's usually or there's quite often pushback and saying, well, we don't need this, which is not true because it is not something that actually is needed for the sponsor. but it is needed to actually provide the work that the CRO is doing. So it's basically internal hours that are directly
Inter
related to
internal
the
C in the
specific
CRO.
project. Project management, for example, or attendance of meetings or internal meetings, or like things that are just, like blowing up the budget in a way, but actually do not directly, well, it's not a delivery. So that is something where we often have discussion and explain a lot about how the processes work. So what is the background of this budget, this units. So that is one thing where where I often helped explaining and describing how this works.
Well, you can have this unit as a line item in your budget, or you don't. If you don't, then the CRO will split it up and distribute it across all
I think
the
this is
other units.
sometimes done probably, and sometimes it's not. So, and that's why, we often receive these comparisons where you say, but I have another CRO that only that there where the unit costs only this and this, or more or less than that. So there's like a comparison which I always feel is kind of between apples and pears, because if you don't if you do not show the full picture, just cherry pick items out of it, then start discussing about the price of one unique table, but not the rest of it. And so that is usually the pricing, the most challenging pricing part is to explain or to kind of get an alignment in what work is actually needed to deliver what the CRO believes is needed. And again, I'm saying believes because this is not always clear either, right?
That is one of the other things. What I have seen quite a lot from both sides is that there's no discussion about it. It's more kind of exchange of documents. And my experience is the best budgets come out of a discussion between the vendor, CRO, and the sponsor, the vendor statistician and the sponsor statisticians, to sit together, to go through all the deliverables, reach a common understanding, make sure that there's no misunderstandings, or at least reduce the number of misunderstandings, and then you get to a much better budget.
Yes, not necessarily in the beginning, to be honest, because this is usually higher because you understand what is needed. But at the end, because of the miss, like there's no change order needed, or like less of change orders. So the it's actually it's a realistic budget that you really try to receive or try to agree on in the very beginning, rather to say, okay, so this is the specs, so we bid to the specs, and then you receive the protocol or the SAP, or write the SAP and realize, okay, it's like three times as many outputs. So, and actually there's an interim and there's another interim, and then we have a DMC in parallel, and then and I mean that is something that some they I mean there are strategies from clients. What we see is that they have specs, and they require all CROs to exactly bid to the specs just for the comparison type of it. So that is, I mean, that is fair if they're honest and open about it. So you bid to the specs, and that is kind of the decision making. One of the decision making, parts is the budget. So that, when you see it's double the price, half the price, they may have like a pre-selection already. So, but actually, as you said, the most important part is the budget at the end, right? And this is something where we need to talk, and we need to see, on the one side, we need to understand what is, what the plan is, to give our best expertise to it. And on the other hand, I would recommend also to listen to people that actually have done this before, many, plenty times, right? So.
If you work first time with a new vendor, or have this first time iteration, it is really important to have an expectation of You need to do a lot of communication and have an expectation of there will be misunderstandings. That it is just nearly inevitable. Yeah. Really smooth, it only gets if you do many different projects together. I'm absolutely sure there's no perfect vendor sponsor relationship that starts super smooth out of the get go. Yeah. So don't, you know, if the first project doesn't go smooth, yeah, don't throw in the towel and say, hey, we'll never work with that vendor again. Yeah. Or from a, also listen from a client side, from a vendor side, this sponsor is so difficult. We never want to work with them again. Yeah. Don't throw in the towel too early. Yeah. Do another and another project. And then usually you can make a much more better informed decision than, you know, outsourcing just one project that goes south and then, yeah. I think the first
No,
project is
I
always
agree, and
coming
especially if you have, you know, when I see this from the CRO side, when you know that there's more to come and like a longer way of planning possible, you can also make, you know, the best, the informed decisions about who to assign and to keep the assignments, because people, you know, people learn to work with a vendor. Obviously, so it's kind of, they interact, they know where the, you know, maybe pitfalls are, different communication ways, or maybe what I mentioned before, different, you know, same naming but different meaning, type of things. So they really learn how to best approach and to you know, work with a vendor or at least a group or like individuals from that company. So, and we, you know, even though, for example, in our case, we always try to keep this experience alive with the vendors, so pass it on. However, if this is not a planned exercise, so if this is something that comes spontaneously, it makes it harder for us to actually keep the assignments or to have the same people assigned or the same group assigned again. And so that's why I'm supportive of the idea of, you know, having, not planning for bits and pieces and individual, you know, small parts of the project life cycle, but really to have a longer, you know, partnership.
I mean,
partnership is always sounds so big, but actually it is kind of a trust that you need to build up from both sides, and not just work it off like on a, you know, like a tick boxes and delivered.
Yeah.
Yes,
completely agree. Yeah,
and actually for the staff, you know, the commitment of the individuals, it is much easier than for them as well, right? So if they feel it's kind of a, you know, it's your client, it's your sponsor, it's your project, it's your, you know, it's your drug, whatever. So you it's just a different type of involvement that you are happy to give, as if you just receive something and say, well, just work it now, program it now, and then, you know, go home. So
yeah, completely agree. It's the same from the sponsor side. Yeah, if you can work with the same team, your same key contacts over a longer period of time, it's so much more fun, more satisfying, just easier, you know. And one of the underlying things there is because you build trust.
Yeah.
Yeah. And building this trust usually takes some time. And yeah, the experience, yeah, is the same thing, kind of knowing the way, different ways of working. You don't want to train someone new again and again and again and again. Yeah. That's a lot of cost and a lot of pain, actually.
Yeah, it is.
So look for longer term partnerships and make sure that both sides have get something positive out of this partnership. That is really important as well. Thanks so much. That was a great discussion. I have the feeling we just, you know, had a glance on the on the ceiling of the iceberg.
There's definitely more we can also exchange about. I mean, we haven't really discussed timelines, right? So that is a critical part, or you know, other therapeutic areas, specific type of things. So where you kind of, so there's this, there, you know, this is a whole industry, obviously, and with that is a lot of challenges. It's a lot of success as well. So it's really like a great place to work in a way, but really, you know, it's looping back in a way where you say, you know, when I remember we had long, you know, years ago, the discussion about the how programmers and statisticians work together. Right. So, and it is kind of looping back to that is where you, you know, when you ex, you know, when you partner with the, you know, with the other groups and with the other individuals, and not, it's not a top down kind of mentality, but really like a partner. That is the biggest success, right? There's the biggest potential for it. And that is the same for, you know, for the relationship with CROs. And so the ones where you have trust, openness, honest relationship, the outcome is usually the best, right?
Yeah.
As simple as that.
Awesome. Yeah. And I think this was episode number 2 or 3, how to work with a programmer or a programming team from a statistics side. So you probably need to scroll quite a lot back in your podcast player. But yeah, give it a listen. Thanks so much, Benjamin, for a great discussion again.
Sure, Alex. Have a good day.
As you have seen in this episode, there are a lot of topics related to communication, related to building trust, related to working effectively in teams, related to negotiation, conflict, all these kind of different topics. And with the leadership program of the Effective Statistician, you will learn more about it. So check out theeffectivestatistician.com, go to the courses homepage, and have a look into what this program can offer to you. This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks to Rain and her team at VVS who helped with the show in the background, and thank you for listening. Reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.